You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Top of the morning to you. If you're into hoops and hockey, what a great week it has been. 8 days away from the NFL draft. How the heck are you? Miller and Moulton, millerandmoulton.com, Miller underscore Moulton on X. And well, it's the playoffs are underway in one sport. They might as well be underway in another, and it's already taking a toll on the Miller and Moulton show. Man, we barely got on the air. And come on, guys. We got 2 months ahead of us. 8-9 weeks. Hoops and hockey. Late into the night. Come on, boys. You got to get it together now.
Feel like I'm being chastised by my father for showing up a little late this morning. He rolls out of bed, hits a button, and he's ready to go to work, whereas the rest of us, you know, might have to do a couple of things before we get here.
Right. You've got a whole half a mile. You've got to travel. You contemplate doing it by golf cart every morning. You're so far away from the studio.
It's a grind, David. It's a grind.
But Trent, I mean, listen, he had a medical excuse for one day. He had a travel excuse for another. Let me tell you there, big fella, it would have been no excuse today. You cannot miss the start of the show because the Kings-Warriors second play-in game. You got a tough 8 weeks ahead of you with these nightcaps.
I'm not denying that. You guys 100% have place to say, Trent, get here earlier. But last night was fun. Let me say that. Started with a little LeBron win.
I got to tell you, can we start with that, by the way? And I may really end up having to put my foot in my mouth by saying this, but 3 minutes left in the game.
Uh-huh.
The guy's gone for 40 for one team. And he comes right down and he's hopping on his leg and he leaves. If there's something really wrong, then I'm in the wrong here. If there's something, and I know they're going to do exams
MRI,
on that leg, but
right.
I'm not even doing a hockey to basketball. I don't think LeBron comes out if he tweaks his leg with 3 minutes left in a 2-point game. And Zion couldn't get to the locker room fast enough. Now, maybe he was really, that was mind-boggling to me to see a guy to be able to run off with his own power off of the court and leave the game. He put 40 up.
He did. He was clearly the dominant player on the floor, too. And they came from 15-17
yeah.
down in the second half, and they had it tied. And, yeah. And those who were on site also said that after the game, he was walking around. He didn't have the leg wrapped in any way. But, I mean, the Pelicans are concerned because he's clearly their best player. But, yeah, LeBron and the Lakers, they do not mail one in. There was thought that Anthony Davis with his back might not play. LeBron's got a troublesome ankle. He can always sit out with that ankle. And instead, the two guys combined to play 80 minutes.
And, David, might I add, Anthony Davis might not play, quote-unquote, ends up with 20 points, 15 rebounds.
Right. Yep.
So and I just found that – did you not find that
– Well, I just assumed, wow, he's really hurt. Because otherwise, wow, coming out in a tie game with 3 minutes to go. And, I mean, your season's not on the line, but it's close. It's close. You lose, then your season is on the line. I mean, you know, you're hanging, you know, you're getting close to the precipice. You know, you can start to see over the cliff from where you are. So I just assumed, wow.
Because I was watching it live. That was on one. At that point, Caps Flyers was over. I was double hockey all night long. Caps Flyers was over. I switch over to the play-in game. There's about 5 minutes left, and it's a tight game. I'd been following it on my phone, and as you mentioned, Lakers had a big lead. He makes what looked like a pretty innocent drive to the rack and comes down and hopped and had his, you know, put his face in his jersey and walked off under his own power. I mean, had a little limp, but that was just really strange to me.
So Lakers and Kings win the play-in game. Sacramento dominated Golden State, and for as terrific as Klay Thompson had been the final four-plus weeks of the season, in what could be his last game as a Warrior, he goes 0-for. Literally, 0-for. Didn't make a shot from the field, didn't attempt a free throw. 0 points for Klay Thompson. Sports can be cruel. And I think we can put the Warriors dynasty to bed, right? That it ended?
I mean,
Golden State had a run here late in the season where they came with a different lineup, and it was like, maybe the Warriors, you get the right matchups. I mean, there are a lot of people that think if you can match up with OKC or Minnesota, then that'll get you through the first round, and then you see where things fall. You know, Dallas is small. Phoenix is small. You know, they're obviously talented. You know, Clippers, you never know if Kawhi and Paul George are going to play, and everybody's trying to avoid the Nuggets. It's in that way. I mean, they're better than the teams in the East, but the East is the same way. You're trying to avoid the Celtics. Everybody else has issues.
They just have more issues in the East than they do in the West.
Exactly. But hockey was amazing last night. The last two nights, maybe the best two nights of regular season hockey that I can recall in terms of playoff implications back to back. Cannot recall watching not just my team, but I'm talking about 4 to 6 games throughout the league, seemingly all going on at the same time.
It did have that World Cup soccer vibe to it. For a regular, yeah, you know, with game, simultaneous games going on that impact one another and how things are going to go. As a Red Wing fan, the last two nights have been glorious. Even though the Red Wings ended up not getting into the postseason, coming from a 2-goal deficit on back-to-back nights to have a shot at the playoffs, to last night's score with 3 seconds left to force overtime. Heady stuff.
Yes. And as it turned out, that in another game, a team desperately needing a win pulls its goalie with 3 minutes to go, gives up an empty net goal, and they pulled their goalie because when they looked at the scoreboard, everything was falling their way. In theory, if the scoreboard didn't look the way it did, they wouldn't have pulled their goalie. Your goal, Mark, the Wings' goal, happened 30 seconds too late in real time. Tortorella looks up at the board, sees Detroit losing, knows it's late third. That's exactly what the Flyers needed to happen. So he's like, we score a goal, we could go to the playoffs here. This is perfect. All right. And literally, Washington scores the empty net goal. And just about by the time they line up for the faceoff after the goal, the Wings goal appears on the board. And I don't think Tortorella pulls the goalie if it's 4-4 going to overtime, because he knows at that point they've been eliminated. And Tortorella knows that the outcome of that game, his game, is also going to affect the Wings and the Penguins. I don't think he pulls his goalie if your tying goal had appeared on the scoreboard.
Interesting. And all of that because there was a goal disallowed by the Flyers. Scored a goal earlier in the game that was disallowed, and there was a lengthy review. So the Flyers game ended up being about 3 minutes of game time behind the Red Wing game.
Exactly. Exactly. An inadvertent whistle by the referee disallowed a goal and could be the difference between one team making the playoffs and any one of three other teams making the playoffs. So, a remarkable couple nights in hockey. And just kind of curious whether or not 21,000 on the text line, Twitch chat room, you know, do you like the play-in in the NBA? Do you like it? Does it work for you? The single game elimination. This has a baseball wild card game feel to it, doesn't it, Mark?
And I didn't like the idea of it at first. I don't like the participation trophy element of what we're getting into sports, of how many teams are being added to the playoffs. But the first round of the NBA is not that exciting to me. The play-in, with the implications of obviously lose and you can be done, has some juice to it. And I found myself, and it was late, but I found myself all into the Lakers game. And if it wasn't for a 4:30 wake-up call, probably would have watched a little more of the Kings Warriors last night. I just don't have the same association bug that Trent has to stay up till 12:30 at night.
And by the way, I'm paying the price. I am struggling this morning. I'm not going to lie.
Well, I have to admit, and you know, you're doing fine work, and you got a lot going for you, but you have not worked the nap into your routine. If Felipe had this same problem, I think it's a young person's thing that you're like, oh man, if I'm taking a nap in the middle of the day, that just indicates I'm old. No, you're tired.
No, it indicates you're a professional.
Right.
It's what it actually indicates, because the pro athlete lives by the nap.
Yes.
Lives by it.
Yes.
Doesn't matter the sport. It really does not matter the sport. Now, the only one I don't know about is baseball. But the hockey
player play at 1 o'clock.
Right, but then when they play a night game, I don't know if they take a nap during the day. I don't know if they get up.
I don't think they do. What I know of baseball players is they stay out till 3 or 4. They sleep till 11 or noon. Then they go to the ballpark for 3 to beat the traffic also. That's what a lot of times why they get there an hour earlier at least than they need to be. You know, get to the clubhouse, see the guys, beat the traffic.
Whereas hockey and basketball, they have a shoot around or a pregame skate. They come back, eat, and sleep.
I mean, Trent, the 1 to 3, 2 to 4 nap. I mean, it's just, it's a staple of many a professional sports league. It's okay to work it into your system. You just tell your friends and family, hey, man, I'm an athlete. I'm in training.
David, I hope I meet her someday. I really do. The 1 to 3 sports nap.
Yes. Okay. I mean, you know, I hate to tell you, she's from Appleton, Wisconsin. Okay. And she's wearing a Packers jersey. But I'm telling you, best looking young lady you've ever seen. And not only that, the pillow is always cool early afternoon. Always. It's where Stuart Scott got his slogan. They're going to do a 30 for 30 on Stu.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. Just saw that the other day. Since we went as cool as the other side of the pillow, I just thought I'd throw that in there. Miller and Moulton. Good show lined up. Talk a little NFL draft in a little more than an hour. It's a hump day, so Seth will join us. And Mark Lye. He was scheduled to join us anyway on this day and time, and then he decided to make some news before his appearance. So we'll talk to Mark coming up in a couple hours. I'm Miller and Moulton.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
21 minutes past the hour. Top of the morning to you. How the heck are you, Miller and Moulton? MillerandMoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on X. By the way, the show is expanding. The part arrived in the mail in Huntsville. So apparently we're going to be on in Huntsville, Alabama next week.
Sounds great to me.
The same part has yet to arrive to its destination in Jacksonville. Once it does, we will be on in Jacksonville. They hope it is also next week.
They sending that part to your front porch, David?
I told them to. I said I could deliver it by hand. I mean, I know right where the building it has to go to is and everything.
Be right next to his DoorDash.
Listen, you know, might have to do a little DoorDash or a little Uber the way things are going.
So I had a calamity yesterday. My garage door, the spring broke.
Oh, that's right.
So I had to spend the day waiting for the garage door people to come fix it and spend way too much money to get the garage door fixed. But he didn't have a part. And instead of sending someone else from the company with the part, they got an Uber to deliver the part to my house, which I thought was a pretty good delivery service. A lot cheaper than a courier. Just call an Uber. Bring this over to his house.
Well, it's cheaper, but it's also kind of ridiculous. Shows you that we're in the year 2024. Just call an Uber. Let's Uber over the part instead of having the company actually fix the problem. But wait, the real question, does your garage door open?
It opens. The wife's happy. I spent way too much money, probably got overcharged, but all all said and done, we're good.
Hey, whatever you have to spend for a happy wife, it's money well spent, right?
You got it. You know, we did kind of bury the lead, David, as we talked about all the great hockey and all the things going on. We got a Florida battle. The Battle of Florida Part 2 is going to happen because the Bruins decided that they didn't want to play hockey the last couple games of the season.
Woo-wee! They scored one goal in their last two games. All right. You know, they lost at Washington. Caps had everything to play for. Okay. That happens, although they only had 16 shots on goal. What kind of an effort is that? But, you know, they came home to play Ottawa.
Right.
Ottawa's not any good.
You're correct, David.
Night before, Ottawa got beat 4-0 by the Rangers. So, I mean, come on now. Bada bing, bada boom, you beat the Senators, you win the division, you're the 2 seed. Well, I guess the Bruins, Mark, wanted no part of the Lightning. Nobody, they treated the Lightning like they were the Denver Nuggets. They're like, no, don't want to play them. No, anybody but them. No, Maple Leafs? Yep, fine, done. Sign us up. We'll play the Leafs. Lightning? Oh, no. Mm-mm. No. Point? Stamkos, Kucherov, Vasilevsky, Hedman, no part of that. Mm-mm, nope. Austin Matthews, whatever. 69 goals. Yeah, please. They're the Leafs. They fall apart in the spring. Okay. Leafs hit the ground early in Toronto. Come on, let's go. Yeah, what a collapse for the Bruins this week.
Unbelievable, and it sets up a battle of Florida. The Tampa Bay Lightning and the Florida Panthers are going to get it on in the postseason.
Is this third time in 4 years?
Yep.
Third time in 4 years after they had never met in the playoffs before, right? And what's interesting is the first two times they met, okay, Tampa Bay won them both. And so now here's Florida, division champs. Same role that we've had here recently. Florida actually goes into the series with home ice. And yet everybody's going, yeah, that's cute. But they're the Lightning in the spring. And I know you guys had a fun run last year. That's because you didn't play the Lightning.
Well, what I am, the other little sidebar I'm interested in this, is that the Panthers struggled to draw fans. They're better this year than they were the year before, and they're better than they were 2 years ago. I get it. Still not an overly difficult ticket to get. They've had to put systems in place to try to keep the opposition fan out of their building.
Right.
What are they going to do now? Because I want to, but the other side of it is the Lightning, who have a great fan base. They going to travel across the state? They going to make the 2.5-3 hour trek for road games? Are we going to see a 70-30 Panther to Lightning crowd? Because this isn't just the displaced Boston fan that lives on the east coast of Florida, if you know what I mean. This actually is, you have to travel to go to this. So there's a lot with this series I'm fired up to see.
I don't think in the first two games the Lightning are going to be that well represented, because nobody thought these two teams would be playing. And you're going to have, what, 3 days to buy tickets and make your travel plans and all that. I mean, I actually think Lightning fans were making their plans to go to Boston, because this was done. I mean, the Panthers had their slump a couple of weeks ago. The Bruins pulled 4-plus points ahead of them. The Bruins and the Panthers actually played a showdown game in Boston like 10 days ago. Bruins won in overtime, and the thought was, well, that's it. Bruins won the division. So, Mark, I think Lightning fans are going to sit the first two games out. They're just going to watch them at home. Then games 5 and 7, that's a different story. Depending on the days of the week the games fall on and all that, they might represent.
But a little Panthers Lightning.
Yeah.
First round series should be terrific.
Awesome. Should be awesome. With all the pressure on the Panthers. All of it. should be fun, will be physical.
And that's where Florida has the advantage in the series. I mean, they're gonna try to run Tampa out of the rink on a nightly basis.
But they tried that 3 years ago, and they ran all over the ice, and the Lightning took the hits and counterattacked and swept them right out of the playoffs. And Bobrovsky's had a great year, but it's the spring, and he's not the best goalie on the ice.
No, he is not.
So it should be fun. Good stuff. Good stuff. And all I'm hoping for in the NBA over the next 48 hours, I just want the two teams playing tonight in Philly to both advance. That's all. You know, the winner tonight obviously will. They'll play the Knicks. I want the loser tonight to make sure they advance so they play the Celtics.
And I'd like Philadelphia to win tonight because I'd like to see the Heat play the Celtics in round one. I want the Heat to make the playoffs. I'm not rooting against the Heat. I just want to see the Heat play the Celtics in the first round.
You know,
because I want Boston to have to really work all the way through this.
I don't think you're alone. Something tells me you're not alone.
Well, what I really want to happen, because we're all going to pick the Celtics, no matter who they play in the first round. But wouldn't you just want to throw a little money down and say, listen, hey, sports gods, if you could arrange this, have the Sixers win tonight, have the Heat win Friday, and then have the Heat steal game one in Boston. And let's just see how much everybody freaks out, including the Celtics. Just have Jimmy Butler walk off the court in a very silent arena, okay, just making his gestures and pointing to people, kind of like, I told you we were going to come here and do this.
Right. Little 26-point first game, maybe with 14 yep. in the fourth quarter type of Jimmy Butler night, totally. If you know what I mean.
Right. Heat come from five down, going to the fourth to win, walk off the court, look around like, you didn't think this was going to happen? You really thought things were going to be different?
Final score, 98-97, something like that, to really honk off the Celtics.
Exactly. Jason Tatum, 9 of 29 from the field. Right. Mm-hmm. That's all. Then whatever happens after that, I think we're fine with. The starting five is next.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
22 minutes before the hour. Ian Cummings of Pro Football Network will join us an hour from now as we are 8 days out from the draft. So we'll talk about it, if that's okay with you. You guys seem to like NFL talk. Mark Lie, 2 hours from now. Masters ratings came in. Not good. What does it mean, if anything? Talk to Mark Lie about the state of golf. And Seth in a little more than an hour. It's a hump day, after all. There's actually a big story going on, which is right up Seth's alley, about the White Sox and the Bulls and the Blackhawks and the... How are their games going to be televised next year, if they're going to be on TV at all? So we'll talk to Seth about that coming up. But at 21 before the hour, time now for...
The Starting Five. Five stories you need to know. It's The Starting Five on Miller and Moulton. Here's number one.
Number one is Top Golf. Now, just bear with me. Mark, are you a fan of Top Golf?
It's a good time. I'm not opposed to it.
Would you conduct a job interview at Top Golf?
No, but I'm not. Okay. Again, sure. Why not?
Well, the Commanders, in a way, are. So the Commanders have invited a bunch of people yesterday and today to come meet with them, and last night, they took about 20 guys to Topgolf, including four quarterbacks. Daniels, May, McCarthy, and Penix. I just hung out with them. Did a little Topgolf. Spent about 20 minutes with you, 20 minutes with you, 20 minutes with you.
Whoever's got the best swing, they're drafting? I mean...
I don't know. I mean, you know... I hope it, they're not looking for etiquette. I mean, do you not draft a guy because he, you know, misses a 7-iron and he slams his club? I mean, I got to admit, his stock would go up in my book if he did that. But so, but anyway, so the Commanders just, I will say the Commanders have made a lot of noise off the field this week. They hired a guy away from the NFL. They hired another guy away. A lot of people are going, wow, they are putting together a first-class organization. And this is, forget the Daniel Snyder era. That this is a totally different organization now. Commanders getting major props from the rest of the NFL for some of the people that they're hiring in the professional community and bringing in various roles. But so this is how they're doing it. Bringing them into a casual setting yesterday and today. Doing a little Topgolf. Here's the thing. So do you eat if you're on the, I mean, you know, they bring over the mozzarella sticks. I mean, tough to say no to a mozzarella stick.
Cheese. Turns to cheese.
Well, I mean, it could have been wings. I mean, you know, I'm just saying, I'm guessing if they're being this casual, they are pounding the appetizer menu.
Oh, yeah. All of a sudden you're I doubt they're even ordering. I'm guessing trays are coming, David.
Exactly. And so I'm just wondering if you're, you know, if you're Penix, if you're McCarthy. I mean, you know, is this a big decision? So did you try the mozzarella stick? No, man, I didn't want to give a bad impression.
Didn't want to eat the fried food. Stuck with the quesadilla.
Exactly. I mean, do you just grab the carrots and the celery stick? Anyway. Dolphins general manager Chris Greer. He did an interview yesterday. Little pre-draft presser. He was asked, what's the deal with Tua and an extension? He said, we're going to get it done. Both sides have agreed. Can we just get through the draft? You know, and then, you know, second week of May, what have you, we'll really get down to business. Okay. He did, however, say publicly that we are going to extend wide receiver Jaylen Waddle and linebacker Jalen Phillips. We will. So we're keeping them on board. Don't worry. Okay. Trevor Lawrence acknowledged yesterday that he and the Jags have started talking about a big money long-term extension, but Trevor was the one that said, quote, it's not really my focus right now, unquote. Translation, I know I'm going to get paid. I mean, what are they going to go with, Mac Jones? Come on. Hockey. So the Panthers beat the Leafs 5-2 after being down 2-0 after one. They scored four in the second. Sam Reinhart, two goals. He finished the season with 57. But that was supposed to be a meaningless game. Except Boston lost at home to Ottawa with 3-1. So the Panthers end up winning the division. They're the two seed in the East. Their reward is a first-round series with the Lightning. We get Florida-Tampa Bay. Yes. So Detroit needed to beat Montreal. They scored the tying goal with 3.3 seconds left in regulation. Then Patrick Kane scores the only goal of the shootout. So the Wings held up their end of the bargain. They just needed Philly to beat Washington. Problem was Philly also needed to beat Washington, and they needed the Wings to lose. When the Wings were losing late third, Philly pulled their goalie with 3 minutes to go in a 1-1 game.
Because Philly had to beat Washington in regulation.
And Washington scored an empty netter. And then Philly looked up at the scoreboard, and the Wings had tied it in forced overtime, which eliminated the Flyers. The Flyers probably don't pull their goalie if they had been eliminated 30 seconds earlier.
And vice versa, so the Wings knew.
By the time the shootout had come, the Wings were well aware that they were done.
Right. So Washington beats Philly 2-1. They clinch the final playoff spot in the East. They'll play the Rangers in the first round. Wings, Penguins, Flyers, all eliminated. Gavin Brindley, the pride of Estero, he made his NHL debut in the season finale for the Blue Jackets yesterday. Played 15 shifts, a little over 12 minutes of ice time. Even got a little power play time. Didn't appear on the score sheet. Columbus beat Carolina in an otherwise meaningless game, 6-3. Winnipeg beat Seattle 4-3. Jets clinch second in the division, so they'll have home ice in their first round series against the Avs. Vegas beat Chicago 3-1. They moved ahead of the Kings into third place in the division, which means they would play Edmonton in the first round as opposed to being the last wild card and opening with Dallas. We'll see. The Kings and Vegas each still have a game to play. Vancouver clinched the Pacific Division in the 2 seed with a 4-1 win over Calgary. NBA, Lakers down big in the first quarter, up 10 at the half, up 17 in the third quarter, only to have New Orleans come all the way back behind 40 points and 11 rebounds from Zion and tie the game at 99. Then Zion left with 3 minutes to go with a leg injury, not for return. Lakers pull away and win 110-106. Lakers advance as the 7 seed. They'll play Denver in the first round of the playoffs. New Orleans will host Sacramento in a true play-in game Friday. Sacramento took care of Golden State and eliminated the Warriors 118-94. Keegan Murray with 32 for the Kings. Klay Thompson was held scoreless in what could be his final game as a Warrior. 0-for-10 from the field, including 0-for-6 from deep. Eastern Conference play-ins tonight. Philly a 5.5-point favorite at home against the Heat. Bulls a 3.5-point favorite at home against the Hawks. Winner of the Heat, Sixers, plays the Knicks in the first round. Loser hosts the winner of Hawks, Bulls. Baseball. Hey, the Marlins won a game. Ryan Weathers with a career-high 10 strikeouts in 6-plus innings. Marlins double up the Giants 6-3. They're 4-14 on the season. Tampa Bay was down to their final out like 3 times. They scored all those times. 2 in the 9th, 2 in the 13th. They beat the Angels 7-6. Cleveland scored 1 in the 9th and then 1-11, 10-7 over the Red Sox. See, Mark, the Red Sox started with a 10-game road trip, went 7-3. So then they came home for a 10-game homestand. They've currently played 8 of those games. They're 2-6.
That's not good.
No, let's go back on the road, shall we? Guardians, by the way, are 12-5. Braves 4 in the 9th. They beat the Astros 6-2. Yankees have lost 3 in a row. They've lost their first series of the year, dropping a 5-4 decision to the Jays. Mets were 1-9 of 12 after the 0-5 start. They beat the Pirates 3-1. Gunnar Henderson with a homer and 3 RBIs. The Orioles, who are a hitting machine. You know, that Jackson Holiday kid's got like 1 hit so far since he's been called up. And they don't even care. They're like, kid, don't worry about it. We're scoring 11 runs.
Yeah, you'll figure it out. Just take your time. No big deal here.
4th game in a row, the Orioles have hit 3 or more home runs. 11-3 over the Twins. Bryce Harper, a homer and 3 RBIs. Phillies 5-0 over the Rockies. Detroit with 2 in the 8th beat the Rangers 4-2. Padres double up the Brewers, I should say, 6-3. They scored 4 in the 1st. Arizona scored in the 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th innings. Ketel Marte homered with 2 out in the 9th to send it to extras, where the D-backs beat the Cubs 12-11. 3-1 Mariners over the Reds. Mark, guess the attendance of Tuesday night in Oakland. Cardinals in town.
Ooh, Cardinals, solid fan base nationwide. I'm going to say it was packed. 6,240.
Lowest crowd of the year, 3,296.
Wow.
Yeah. Cardinals over the A's, 3-2. Dodgers, 6-2 over the Nats. Mookie Betts, 5 hits. He's pretty good. The top of their lineup, by the way, is Betts and Otani. And then Freddie Freeman. That seems like a problem. Other baseball news, Carl Erskine, who was the last surviving member of the only Brooklyn Dodgers team to win the World Series, the Boys of Summer, the 55 crew. He passed away at the age of 97. Whitey Herzog, Hall of Fame manager. Loved Whitey. Great manager. Died at the age of 92. He was at Cardinals opening day just 2 weeks ago. Trevor Bauer's accuser has been indicted for fraud in Arizona. Darcy Esamonu tried to, well, threatened that she was going to expose somebody else for the same stuff she alleged Trevor Bauer to have done, unless that person gave her money. So she's not charged for fraud about Bauer, although Bauer and his attorneys the last 2 years were alleging that she was trying to embezzle him for money. And Rory McIlroy, by the way, shut down all those LIV rumors. He gave an interview with the Golf Channel in which he said, yeah, first off, I'm not interested. I'm going to play my whole career on the PGA Tour. And secondly, they've never made me an offer. Never. We have not had a serious conversation that would result in an offer. So I have no idea how these rumors started. The rumor started, by the way, from a publication, a financial publication in Europe, that said that they had the details about the negotiations. So that's how the rumor started. And as we approach 8 minutes before the hour, that was...
That was the Starting Five every weekday morning at this time on Miller and Moulton.
Okay. Now, if you're a Major League Baseball franchise, can you sign Trevor Bauer?
David, I would have already signed him.
I know. You and I both would have. You're innocent until you're proven guilty. He was never charged. Never charged. Two investigations into him. He was never charged. He clearly has been blackballed. Okay, he was accused of domestic violence, was never charged twice by the same woman. Okay, he alleged the whole time that she asked him for money, over $3 million. And he said, I'd rather, you know, lose my career than pay you the money. And so now he and his agent and what have you is going, see? See? He hasn't pitched in the majors in over 2 years.
And he'll never pitch again in the majors.
Are you sure?
I think this is
starting to have a Duke lacrosse feel to it.
I got you. But Trevor Bauer, when we listen to David Sampson, he wasn't well-liked before any of this.
I understand. Although it's funny, Major League Baseball Radio gave him a weekly hour, and they called it the Bauer Hour. I mean, so they were all in on Trevor Bauer 4 years ago. They liked his personality. They liked his outspokenness. Rob Manfred gave him a show. And now they want nothing to do with him.
Not a damn thing.
Because of accusations that had proven to be false and from a woman who now has been charged with fraud for making similar accusations about someone else.
You know I'd sign him, but I don't think he will get signed.
You don't think anyone... I mean, all these organizations, 28 of the 30, don't have starting pitching. Are we sure now? How about that as a poll question?
I love it.
Miller and Moulton.